Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation. There are two things that once you get this right, your life can take an extraordinary upturn. And those two things are related to happy money, and the other is happy presence. So we'll start off today with the first one. And the first one is happy money. Now, this concept is not mine. I ended up getting this concept from a dear teacher. His name was Bert Goldman. And Bert was an absolutely amazing man. He was called the American Monk. And he got that name because he was a disciple of Yogananda. Yogananda is the guy who wrote a book by the name of Autobiography of a Yogi. Now, this book is very famous. I don't know how many copies were sold, but it was Steve Jobs' favorite book. It's the one book that he carried with him. And I remember that he ended up giving out so many of them to people. But this guy, Yogananda, which was Bert Goldman's teacher, you know, I asked him about Yogananda because he had first-hand contact. He was right there with him. And I said, what was the guy like? You know, what was it like? And his face completely changed and his demeanor changed. And he said, he's not from here. And that was a kind of an amazing thing, because this Bert Goldman had seen many, many things in his lifetime. He had worked with Uri Geller. He had the rich and famous from around the world all utilized him. And anyway, Bert had some amazing abilities himself. But when Bert was talking to me, he said, I only want happy money. He said, if anything that you have purchased from me that you're not happy with, I'm going to give you back your money. I don't want it. Please, please take your money back. Do not give me your unhappy money. I only want money that you are overjoyed to give me, that you want me to have. And I thought that this was so genius of him, because he understood the laws of the universe. And those laws of the universe were that you're not going to be able to keep it if it's not yours. And the energy of things is going to produce an effect in this physical dimension. So if people are, let's say, you know, handing over their money resentfully, and, you know, legally you can keep it, what ends up happening is something else. Maybe you end up in a situation where somebody else sues you and takes away the money, or the money that was taken, utilized in a certain way that produces unhappiness. So there's a particular energy about the exchange. So that policy, many years ago, we implemented at our company, which, if it's if somebody is not happily and joyfully giving their money because they want us to desperately have it, because they are so happy with the outcomes that they're going to get or they have gotten, then that's the type of relationship that feels good. It feels good to all parties. They're joyful about their giving. We're joyful to help. But this is not how most of society sees things. And because of that, there's an awful lot of conflict. Now, there are companies out there that basically have these type of concepts. One of them is Nordstrom's. Many years ago, back in the, I can remember way back in the 80s, 90s, something like that, Nordstrom's had the most liberal return policy of any company out there. And they ended up growing and growing and growing. If somebody wasn't happy for any reason whatsoever, they just took the product back. That obviously, there are certain people who would abuse something like that, and that type of thing. But that also creates some unwanted type of scenarios. So the thing is that when you only accept happy money, your life goes smoother. The other side of this is giving happy money. If you're involved in relationships with certain companies and you're unhappily giving your money to them, this is not good for either party as well. It'd be much better to find another vendor for whatever it is that they're selling. Because that energy of that bad feeling, really permeates you. As the person who's handing over that money, it doesn't make you feel good. And this is clearly illustrated in the whole mechanism of reviews, restaurant reviews, reviews for dentists. Everybody's got reviews now online and publicly. And that whole process, it has turned into a economically very viable and better for the consumer and also the companies that are out there. It forced the companies into a position of doing everything that they can to make sure that their customer is happy giving them the money. Whereas before, when there wasn't so much intercommunications, they couldn't really gauge it. The who's talking to who, they can do more advertising or whatever, but still treat their customers not so great and make it. But as things are going, things are more interconnected these days. So it's very interesting how this is all playing out in the world. The, happy money both received and given. This topic is really somewhat interesting because it kind of goes into the spirit of what might be mutually beneficial. And that's why transactions that are not mutually beneficial not only produce kind of a very negative experience, but also these negative comments online. And interestingly, those turn into poor sales results for the company that's selling stuff. I have some people that have a company that they do reputation management electronically for these companies, and they've actually been able to define every single star that, for example, a restaurant has. Let's just say, for example, it's McDonald's. So if one McDonald's has 3 stars and another McDonald's has 4 stars, there is an actual dollar value. They're going to do X amount of $1,000 more per day getting that another star. And they know this because it's McDonald's, right? Or it's Taco Bell, or it's Burger King, or one of these really well-known cookie cutter franchises. So this has actually proven out to be the number of stars, which many things go into, the number of stars, like how a person's treated, if you look them in the eye, what the price point of your product is, did it come out the way you advertised it, your return policy, so on and so forth. So this is something that has ended up being good business for everyone. The other aspects of this are around gifts. Now, gifting money can be something somewhat tricky. You might gift somebody money because they are guilting you into it. Like, oh, I don't have any money for this or that, and you feel guilty. And that guilt driver is also very detrimental. This can create, right, what I would call a negative cycle, and there's the guilt, right? Doesn't matter how much you give, you can't really get rid of the guilt. So, when we give money, it's very important that it's done with connection. And I didn't really understand this, especially with giving the homeless something. When you're giving a homeless person, let's say, whatever money or that sort of thing, one of the things that the homeless people talk about, people that have found themselves there, is that they feel very disconnected. And even though the money, they might take the money, but there's not a really a caring and a connection. And that's really what it's about, is to connect and to truly care. So if you do happen to give money, it's a giving them money with a open heart and a connectedness, caring, if you will. This is a very big thing to be able to really connect when you do, because That's what the person walks away with. They really, when the connection is made and you're giving them money, you'll find them walking away really happy. Now, obviously, some people, have certain mental illnesses and they really can't connect, and it's not possible. But for those that can, you can really help them out significantly by lifting them up, a few words of encouragement, or just connecting. Hey, what you gonna do? Where are you going? What's going on? Where are you from? Whatever might be the case. That erasing out or piercing what they call their invisibility. Nobody can see me. People walk right by and don't look at them and don't connect. So this is a thing that you can offer when you're giving that happy money. We're about ready for our first break here, and we are the creators of Cogno Movement. Cogno Movement is a modality that helps people with their brain and their nervous system. And what aspect of life can we help with? Well, it's any aspect of life that your brain and your nervous system has something to do with. In other words, it's everything: finances, relationships, you name it. It has an effect. So, cognomovement.com, CognoMovement.com. And now we'll hear from our good folks at the UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I want to talk a little bit about how unhappy money affects us. The accepting of a gift that comes with strings attached. How many times have somebody given you something and then it's like, oh, well, I need you to do this or that? Now, with happy money, and we're talking very specifically around a gift, it typically doesn't have a condition along with it. There's no string attached. And that's when it's the happiest. Do what you like. Do what you like. Here's the money and do what you like. Now, for the person who gives the money, They can create a lot of unhappiness for themselves when they tie a condition to it. Well, I wanted them to do this with it. I wanted them to do that with it. Well, what was happy now is very unhappy. And it creates a bunch of judgments around that person and a lot of resentments. And also, was that money that I gave really happy money, or was it simply a different form of manipulation? People are very easily manipulated with money. You can get people to do all kinds of things with money. That type of manipulation, again, is very important to be aware of. What's my expectation? If I have an expectation as I give this, if it's not freely given without expectation, then what happens as a true gift, that is, then what happens is that is like an experience of almost a premeditated resentment. Like, if they don't do this, then it's going to be a problem. So, what you want to do with gifts is to give the gift freely. I remember one time, I've told this story quite a few times, but I was driving in San Diego and I saw a homeless person at the side of the road. And when I saw this person, I just was like, well, I'm going to give him a dollar. And I waved at him, and he was at the side of the road. He had to jump across like a few lanes to get me. It was at a stoplight. And when I did, he got there. I reached in my pocket to grab a $1 bill. And he's coming across the street. I pulled out a $20 bill. And when I pulled out the $20 bill, I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, he's coming across the front of the car. And I looked at the $20 bill and I was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I'm gonna give him this $20 bill. I don't And then I let go. And I was like, you know what? He's getting a $20 bill today. That's exactly what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give him this $20 bill. And the amazing thing was when I gave him this $20 bill, the excitement, he was looking me in the eye and he was like, oh my God, are you sure? Are you sure about this? And I was like, yes, I'm sure. Because he was so connected and so happy. Oh my God, he was so happy. And what I did was at that moment in time, I was so happy for him. I didn't care what he was going to spend the money on. He may go out and get a six-pack. But for that moment in time, for those few hours, for that little bit of money, I had created some joy. He may do something else. It's really who knows. But the whole point of the giving the money was connectedness and joyful giving. And that ended up as an absolutely wonderful experience for me. And I'm so grateful even to this day that I got to meet him. That inspired me many times into the future to do the exact same thing and to really connect. The excitement of giving people an amount of money and that they really feel that it's going to change their life in some way. Maybe, if they're out there on the street, $20 could help change things for a little while, or maybe it's a 50 or 100. Who knows what it is? But It can help to make people feel very differently. The other thing that I wanted to talk about in this episode is around the concept of happy presents. And when I say presents, I don't mean like a gift wrapped presence. I mean your physical presence. Just as happy money is a real thing, giving happy money, receiving happy money, those things really work out for us when we implement this. But there's this other aspect of life, and that is you. You and your body and going somewhere. Right presently, we're in the holiday season here. And in the holiday season, there are a lot of parties and family get-togethers and those sorts of things. Now, this is a source of a lot of problems for a lot of people. There is an expectation that you need to come. It's a what I would call an obligation to attend this party, an obligation to attend that party, an obligation to come to a Christmas or Hanukkah or other, New Year's, Thanksgiving, all these different, feasts or events that your friends and family have set the expectation, or you set your own expectation to come. Now, when we go to a place, let's say we're going to a party that we got invited to, and we end up going out of a sense of obligation. Really, what we do is we're there, and this is on a spectrum, how badly we feel, oh, for whatever reason. Maybe it's there's somebody there that we resent or we felt did us wrong at one point, whatever it might be. When we show up with that negative energy of obligation, it's felt. Most people aren't aware of this, that, or at least they think that they're the only one in the room that can actually sense what other people are feeling. But in truth, almost everybody does it. Everybody can feel what other people are feeling. We know the person who has violent tendencies. We know the person who's a liar. We know the person who has some ethical issues. We know the joyful one. We know who the supportive one. We can feel it. Most people really can. So we think that our feelings are basically our own, and nobody knows. They don't know because I have a blank face. I don't make any face. I didn't say anything. So we think that nobody's really aware of what we're thinking and feeling. But this couldn't be farther from the truth. Have you ever found yourself out there and talking about somebody that was at a party or a gathering, or, could be at work, wherever, and you just know it and you're like, God, I can't stand it. They are causing waves that they think they're not, because they're not saying anything and they're not doing anything supposedly. But that energy again really creates a whole different vibe at the party, at the office, at whatever gathering there might be. This type of thing is not just about like just the feeling that we're out there holding for ourselves. It is really about the ripple effect. I was asked recently, what about all these situations around the globe? There's all these people doing all these things. You know, there's these attacks or situations around the globe. And my comment, what they asked, you know, what can we do about this? And my comment back is start right there in your own house. Start in everywhere you go. If you're going somewhere with a negative feeling, you're amplifying the negativity in that place, whoever is there. The situation with this is a very real experience. How many of us have gone to a place and encountered somebody, whether it's the grocery store or virtually anywhere, even at church, and you're like, damn, you know, it didn't feel good. And you don't know why you don't feel good, you know, after the encounter. Well, they have infected you. They have adopted you to spread that negativity. And then what happens is we encounter somebody else, and then it amplifies again. Somebody else feels what we're feeling, and we get another amplification. This is going on in spades now. There is so much of it around the globe being amplified, all the division around the globe. So one of the resolutions to it is to simply begin simply by not participating in that negativity, and also be happy where you're at. Find something to like and love about the people that surround you.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we are talking about happy presence. Presence meaning being around situations where you're happy and not engaging into situations because you're going because you're guilty, you're going because you're obligated, you're going because you feel sorry for somebody, you're going because whatever reason that you might have that is not out of joy and happiness, light, and laughter, or something productive. There are people who are out there and doing service physically, but they're not connected. They're not connected. They're not joyful in it. So there's no point of doing it. Service that is done out of obligation is not service at all. It is the feeling that you bring with it. Being happy in the service that you do will create a situation that benefits the both of you. It's very, very important. Now, there are others that that on the flip side of things is invitations. Who are we going to invite? Or are we going to even have the event at all? So coming, having people come to your house, to your event, to whatever it might be, when they come, you're equally going to want people to be happy as well. You don't invite a virus into your house. You know, you would never intentionally invite somebody who has the super contagious XYZ virus into your house. But people that are what might be called a energy vampire, or, you know, they suck the life out of the room. If you invite them into your house, you know that they're going to infect everybody in that environment. They're going to suck the life out of the room, and that's going to create a lot of problems. There are people who look at things quite differently, and there's a subset of humanity that sees gatherings as opportunities to lash out, to right the wrongs, to confront people. Now, those type of things are a mindset, and they're the type of people that you don't want to have at your event. If somebody's coming with those type of intentions, everybody already knows what the outcome is. You're going to find all kinds of manipulation and separation and camps that are, you know, it's us against them type scenario. So that type of manipulation and those type of resentments will simply have ultimately negative results. In some cases, it certainly can be catastrophic. So how do you know when you're going into a situation that may be not in your best interest? Meaning you cannot enter into it being in happy presence. And the first one is going to be fatigue. You find yourself tired. There's the three stages of being in a situation that has unhappy presence. The first stage is being tired. Like, I've just got the energy sucked out of me, and I'm tired. And if it is persistent, let's just say that it's a job, right? That is somewhere that it's not working out. So you have a job that you continually go to, and you find yourself so darn tired. That's your first step. If you don't listen, the second step that you'll go to is you get sick. Ah, you didn't listen. You just kept going. And then you get sick. And that kind of sick is like a cough, a cold, a flu. It's something where you're really struggling, but you can keep going. And the third step is actually much more significant. And this is where you haven't listened and it's been ongoing for a long period of time and you haven't dealt with it. And that's when things become critical. You'll find those type of situations where you get some sort of terminal illness. These are separated by time, but just notice that when you're in a situation, do I get tired? Pay attention to your physical body. Now, this situation where we're allowing the unhappy presence of others, or allowing ourselves to be in a in unhappy presence with others, can result in many other effects, like finding yourself in self-sabotage. So often, people will have situations that they create in order that they cannot go, like hurting themselves. Actually seen this in the past where people literally break their leg when they're on the way to answer the door for someone that they know on the other side of that door is very much a an unhappy meeting. So I actually have seen this actually happen, and that is an amazing self-sabotage. It just seems like, no, that doesn't have anything to do with I didn't do it. It was just an accident. I tripped on a ball or whatever. But it really does create real life scenarios where we would rather hurt ourselves than to be in this unhappy presence situation. Stress as well is another one. Stress comes out in so many ways, and a lot of people find things around their skin or their digestion, things like that. Many people experience a life that they are in a perpetual series of meetings, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's business, that they're repeatedly going through these cycles of guilt, of obligation in some way, shape, or form, because they're related by blood and this is how we do culturally, or there might be money on the line in some case that this will produce that. So, what are the principles that we should consider? Only accept it, any money that is joyfully given. So that's number one. Number two, only give money with a clean, grateful heart. Apply the same rules for physical gifts and even your attention. So you might have your physical presence, but also your attention. Many people are quite upset these days because with the advent of all of these smart devices, the smartphones, those sorts of things, their attention is drawn into whatever is on that device. And there's a lot of reasons for this. But putting that down and giving undivided attention, can I do that and not resent? And when I say this is because the person who's drawing your attention, you might find that person talking about things you consider uninteresting or trivial. So, again, this is something about being grateful and being connected. If you have a hard time with it, try just simply giving yourself a chance to get curious. Curiosity is a really great thing. You could just be curious about whatever their point of view is, or noticing something really great about them that you can appreciate. That will help you to drive you into that happy place, to be around them and to give them your attention. Only surround yourself with people who are happy to see you win. This is one that we hadn't talked about before, but many people are not happy for us to win. They like hearing about our downfalls. And that energy also is kind of one of those hidden things. It's a hidden thing that you don't want that type of energy around you. There are certain cultures around the world that they have even some certain symbols, you know, like avoiding the evil eye, you know, people who have, you know, bad intentions secretly. So this is this when you're surrounded with people who like and love and are happy to see you win, you'll find that your success gains. When you're declining or setting a boundary, how to gracefully decline an unhappy offer. When you decline an unhappy offer, what you want to do is to be honest. And when I say honest, it doesn't mean being negative and saying, hey, I don't want to go around because how you've been acting and that sort of thing. But just stating clearly and simply that you won't be coming and you wish them all a wonderful time. And in fact, do wish them all the happiness that they could have at their particular whatever gathering. The law of resonance helps determine what we attract. So as I give happy money returns to me. As I am non-judgmental and I'm happy in the presence of others and happy being there, it amplifies the effect in the room. This is something that is very easy to practice when We simply notice the good in another. And you can do that quite easily. They may be somebody that maybe you don't care for so much, but they have really great shoes, or they may have great hair, or they might be interesting. If you allow yourself to start asking questions, why do you feel that way? What is behind that? Educate me on it. And being open to it, these other points of view may help you to connect. Now, lastly, these reactions that we talked about, the fear, the guilt, the grief, the resentment, whatever it might be that is keeping you from a state of being happy in these encounters, those reactions that are not serving you can be easily processed with cognomovement, actual exercises that you do physically. You can find out more about those at cognomovement.com. That's cognomovement.com. There's a basic program called the Essentials Program where you can do it yourself, or there are practitioners that you can employ and they'll do it with you and for you. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.